From the heart of rural America, Mount Marty University Nursing presents Health on the Map, a podcast that looks closely at challenges in rural healthcare through in-depth conversations with experts in the field. From accessibility concerns to chronic health conditions, Health on the Map host Mark Long invites advanced practitioners, policymakers, educators, and students on air to uncover the gaps, challenges, and opportunities our rural communities face, including what's being done to make a difference. Join us as we chart the impacts of people working to put rural healthcare on the map.
This is Mark Long at Mount Marty University, and our guest today is Dr. Wendy Heckert, a family nurse practitioner and the owner and operator of Heckert Health Center, LLC, a family practice clinic in Norfolk, Nebraska, which is a community of about 25,000 people in the northeast part of the state. Dr. Heckert also owns Heckert Nurse Consulting, which specializes in prevention and education. She earned her Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree from Mount Marty University, two Masters of Science in Nursing degrees from the University of Nebraska Medical Center and Nebraska Wesleyan University, and a doctorate in nursing practice from the University of Tennessee Health Sciences Center in Memphis, with a specialization in forensic nursing, which I'm looking forward to talking to her about as well. She is a nursing entrepreneur, a leader in practice, and it's a pleasure to welcome her today. Dr. Heckert, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Long. I appreciate this opportunity to speak about being a nurse practitioner.
Great. Thank you so much. And just one of the ground rules, is it okay if I call you Wendy and you call me Mark?
Sounds wonderful.
Okay, let's do that. So you, I don't know if you know this or not, you are the first nurse practitioner I've ever met who owns and operates her own clinic.
No way.
I think we met in 2015, 2016, when I got to Mount Marty. Can you walk me through how you became interested in nursing and how you ultimately got to the point where you opened your own practice?
Well, the easy part about being interested in nursing was my dad's little sister was a nurse, and she was the one that introduced me to that because everybody in my family was business related. So we were the two lone medical people. And I know when I had to make a choice between Mount Marty and Augustana, she was a little partial and biased to Augustana because that's where she went to school. But I chose Mount Marty, and I ended up choosing Mount Marty because it just always felt like home. And that was kind of the thought process because, you know, becoming a nurse was a pretty much a lifelong goal, and went on ahead and did that. Graduated 30 years ago this week, I think.
Mm, happy anniversary.
Yeah, class of 94. Great. So, yeah. And through being a nurse, working in hospital settings, I also did know one of my colleagues from the small town where I grew up in Neely, Nebraska, who was finishing her nurse practitioner degree. That was a pretty new one. In fact, I think she was the second class to graduate from UNMC, if I remember correctly. She was the one that said, hey, I think you'd be good for this. The physician that I worked around a lot said, I think you'd be good for this. And so that's how I ended up becoming a family nurse practitioner.
Yeah, that's great. So I know a majority of states now allow nurse practitioners the full practice authority, and maybe you can talk a little bit about what that means, including Nebraska.
Correct.
Can you explain maybe a little bit about the evolution of advanced practice nursing since you started your career and how you interact with specialists and the health system in Nebraska today?
Absolutely. In fact, back in graduate school from 96 to 98, we were starting the process of trying to get full practice authority in the state of Nebraska. And I want to say it was at least a good 20 years later by the time we finally got it all hammered out and ironed out. It was a very big evolution in the fact that we started down a path of just trying to get that practice moniker at the tail end of our names. I know when I started out, we were actually ARNPs, so Advanced Registered Nurse Practitioners. And so we, in the evolution of things, changed it to APRN, I think it was in 2000, in order to start with the umbrella of practice in Nebraska, which was making sure that we all fall under the APRN guidelines, whether you're a CRNA, a CNM, a CNS, or an NP, like most of us are. We went from having like 200 people show up at the yearly conventions to now I think they have like 3,000 across the state of Nebraska that are licensed. So, the evolution to full practice authority was a long one. So we went from, having to do things like not be able to say so on the face, not be able to write for Schedule II narcotics for more than 72 hours. So if somebody needed hydrocodone pills past 72 hours or Ritalin, at the time, things like that, we would have to have a physician co-sign. In most rural places, we would have to have physician oversight. We'd have to have a contract with a supervising or a collaborating physician that specialized in our practice. But most people ended up having specialists signed for them. In the rural health arena, we kind of did everything. We would see the nursing home patients. We'd go to the clinic. We'd do hospital rounds. We'd take call in the ER, that sort of thing. And as we moved to a more specialist-based care model, it seems like over probably about the last 10 to 15 years, where people tend to have more specialists involved in their care than they ever have before. I have noticed that, that full practice authority started coming out just a little bit more to the forefront. We were able to do some lobbying, get some things handled, and now full practice authority in the state of Nebraska is the fact that we can open up our own clinics. We can work independently. But what I want to preface is we always work in collaboration with everybody that we encounter, because we're not in a vacuum all alone, in a silo all alone. We have to make sure that our patients are being taken care of in the best possible way. And so sometimes that does mean having to bring a cardiologist on board, having to bring a psychiatrist on board for mental health issues. But because of the fact that we don't have an incredible amount of specialists in our truly rural Nebraska counties, I know Norfolk's considered to be a rural area, depending on who you're talking to. But there are some places where just even access to a healthcare provider without seeing them on the television, you might have to drive 60 miles to get there. And so that's been a tremendous hurdle to overcome. But I don't believe, did I answer the whole entire question?
Yeah, and just how you work with those specialists and the health systems in your part of the state.
Absolutely. We refer to hospitals as needed. A lot of times our patients will use the hospitalist service in our areas, simply because of the fact that we have people that specialize in that hospital, in that facility. And so if we need to send a patient to a surgeon, they take over that care and make sure that patient gets through that surgical center setting or the surgery setting in the hospital through rehab and so forth. And then they make sure to get a hold of us, and we make sure that patient gets to the correct physical therapy trials that they need, or that they have home health for after hospital care. And we just this morning, I had two phone calls to get some lab works that we had run on some patients to the specialists. So that way they had the availability of that when they go for their yearly visits. So,
yeah, that's great. One thing I've learned about healthcare, in just as an observer, is that it's constantly changing. And I know, I love the fact that you have a family practice clinic I know that physician practice clinics used to be commonplace and are less and less so now that the health systems usually own those practices. Can you tell me what the opportunities and challenges are to owning your own clinic in a rural area of the country?
Probably the biggest one is reimbursement through insurances. I would say that that's probably a large aspect of it, simply because of the fact that most insurances still pay us only 85% being a nurse practitioner unless I bill under, say, a supervising, collaborating, however you want to say it, physician. But the thing is then we don't get credit for our work. So that I knew when I was setting this up that I was going to be taking a hit on some of the reimbursement processes. And that's completely 100% ever changing and ever evolving. Anytime I think I've got it figured out, they give you a new code that you need to use.
Yeah. Yeah. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of the opportunities that you see in practice?
As far as?
Yeah. Just in terms of how it's different from a nurse practitioner. When did you actually start your clinic? What year?
10 years ago this fall.
Okay, great. What are the opportunities that you have in finding patients, working with patients that maybe people who are in working for a bigger corporate clinic don't have those opportunities?
I think it's personal touch more than anything. Simply getting to know my patients and their families, because I have found that advertising, while it works very well, the best thing that we have is word of mouth. And so if someone is satisfied with your care, they will tell somebody that they love or respect that they're satisfied with your care. And that's how you pick people up. There are still some people that like the old model. And what I mean by the old model is that you have one person who kind of knows you from head to toe, inside and out, can remember your surgeries, can remember some of your medications, maybe the pharmacy that you go to, that, oh yeah, you're probably going to need that test next time you come in, and make it a little bit less technologically based, if you will. Although that's the crux of family practice right now. Remembering that we have many generations using many different forms of communication. From some people like to call you up and come in and talk about things. Some people rather just text you that this is what's happening. Some people would rather engage with your advertising on social media. And a lot of people just want to take, I actually had somebody ask me for a handwritten script the other day.
Yeah. You don't see those very much anymore.
I can't remember the last time I physically wrote out a prescription, except when my computer was down that one day.
Yeah, oh yeah, that happens for sure. So what is a typical day? How many staff do you have?
I have a front desk, and I have another clinic that's within my clinic. Dr. Fennessy does Vein Clinic of Northeast Nebraska.
Okay.
So specializes in that.
So what does a typical day look like? For you, I know not every day is typical, but sort of a typical day in terms of patient care and administration.
That's split up depending on what's going on that day. So some days I may be really super heavy with taking care of patients. The one nice thing about running an independent practice is I can decide whether or not I need 15 minutes with a patient versus an hour. Because that might be something where we need to be making some referrals, some calls, doing some education. Where sometimes in your bigger practices, you're told, okay, you've got 10 minutes, go on to the next person. You've got 10 minutes, go on to the next person. And that's the part that I don't really like. But, it's one of those things where I sit down after I've encountered with the patient and I try to do all of their prescriptions, all of their billing. Sometimes before they even leave the suite, if not, I'm able to do that within 24 hours to get everything handled, get appointments made for them. And a lot of the administration does fall back on me because I have to have a hand in that insurance at all times because that's my paycheck.
Right. No, that makes sense. So from your perspective, what are the biggest challenges in rural healthcare now?
Probably for patients, I would say it would be access. For us, it's probably more the day-to-day stuff of computers have made our lives so much more simple, but they've also made them so much more treacherous. Simply because of the fact I find myself on the computer more than I am seeing patients, and that part I don't like.
Right.
But at the same token, I know it's a necessary part of doing what we do.
Sounds great. Let's pivot and talk about your interest in forensic nursing. First of all, what is that and how did you become interested in it?
Actually, I took care of a patient a lot of years ago as a nurse that it was one of those deals where we just didn't, we didn't end up collecting evidence on something that ended up being a case. And I've always been interested in that sort of stuff. In a former life, I kind of wanted to be Quincy, you know, the old television show.
I do. I'm old enough to remember that.
There's going to be three people out there that know Quincy. But then I figured out you had to go to school to be a physician, a surgeon, and a pathologist, and go get your law degree. And I said, no. So the Nebraska Wesleyan University started a class for master's prepared people in forensic science. I took the criminal investigation track, mostly just for knowledge at that point. I just wanted to know how to better serve our populations as far as those who have been victims, witnesses, perpetrators, that sort of thing, when it came to forensic cases, because taking care of people in an emergency department as a nurse practitioner, you do see a lot of stuff that it was kind of questionable. What could I have done better? What could I have done more of? And also just that whole prevention of intentional and unintentional injury is the crux of what I do as a forensic nurse. Through getting that degree at Wesleyan, then I had the opportunity to go back to doctoral school. And at the time, I think it was the only program in the U.S. at University of Tennessee Health Science Center. And I focused in on forensic nursing as the crux of it. And prevention was key. Prevention was the thing.
Interesting. Is that part of your consulting work now?
Yes. Some of my consulting work deals with nursing, with being a nurse practitioner, but a majority of it deals with prevention of injury.
Wonderful. All right, Dr. Wendy Heckert, I have a feeling that you probably have a patient waiting on us to finish, so I appreciate your time today. Thanks for the information. Anything else you'd like to add?
Just that, of course, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Mount Marty has always been an awesome institution and will continue to be an awesome institution. If anybody's looking to receive a nursing degree, a nurse practitioner degree, advance into a doctoral degree, this is the place to go. And you guys did not pay me to say that.
No, that's true. thanks for that. And we're very proud. Mount Marty University is very proud of your success, Dr. Heckert. And we look forward to seeing what the future brings. Thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Health on the Map is a production of Mount Marty University Nursing in cooperation with Riverfront Broadcasting. To learn more about Mount Marty, South Dakota's Catholic University, visit mountmarty.edu/nursing.